Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with my boss man, Mr. Scotty Reynolds.
Who?
Scotty.
Call him Scotty. No.
Yeah, we're going to start doing hockey slang. Like Trevi over there. Trevi, Rennie, I'm Cookie.
All right. No, you're Marky.
I hate Scotty.
Hockey
players
so it's
are terrible with nicknames.
Yes.
Like they're talking about JT Miller, and they're like, "Oh, what's your nickname?" And he's like, "Oh, it's Millsy." I'm like, that's not good. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway,
all right. So much for hockey nicknames. But you know, why do we care about hockey when this is a football town, fellas?
This is a football town. It's becoming that. It really is. Back-to-back wins since the first time, I think, what, week one and two, right?
I think since the 02, yeah. The 02 season.
2002.
Yeah,
yes.
No, you're right.
No, they were actually 2-0 to start this season. With a quality win over the New Orleans Saints, and now another quality win over a Carolina Panthers team that was heading into this game trying to get to the playoffs. Now they've lost four straight, so who knows?
Wheels are falling off.
They are.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the fans and the media in Carolina, I'm saying, hey, you got to bench Cam Newton, right? You got to replace him.
Four interceptions today.
I mean, yeah, four interception game. This is his Cincinnati game, right?
Somebody really.
Why do I not think there's going to be the panic and outcry and burn him at the stake mentality that Jameis Winston got?
Well, because Cam Newton took the Panthers to a Super Bowl and he won an NFL MVP.
And he also didn't try to recover that fumble.
That's true. But until Jameis Winston does that, he's not going to be on Cam's level when it comes to the respect.
I agree. He doesn't have the resume.
And they
for
don't
sure.
have a good backup quarterback. I don't know why we're talking about this. Somebody sarcastically said that to me during the game. They're like, oh, they're going to bench Cam Newton now? No, they didn't have a guy who broke NFL records the first two weeks when Cam Newton was suspended for three games.
Yeah, that's true.
Idiot.
Yeah, idiot.
Sorry.
Who is the backup quarterback?
The kid who threw the last pass. Because,
Heineke?
Yeah, I don't know.
Meineke.
Heineken. Heineke.
Yeah,
Heineken.
No, Heineken. His father Heineken. Invented the beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, no wonder he's not going to be replacing Cam Newton next week.
You know what? We could have had a good segue at the beginning of this podcast because you talked about nicknames. And yeah. We could have brought up...
T.A. Mahoney's?
No.
Ford's Garage?
No. Double A?
MCO?
No.
Alexander Adams.
Yeah.
John Adams.
John Adams.
Yes.
Anthony Adams.
Closer.
Andrew Adams.
There it is.
Andrew Adams.
Yes. Andrew Alexander
Double
Adams.
Double A, who Jameis now calls Triple A.
That's right.
Because he got three interceptions.
He got the hat trick. We'll bring it all the way back around to hockey right there.
All right.
Oh,
great.
Boy.
Yep.
You know what? Look, what team are we watching out here defensively?
We're watching Mark Duffner's defense, which came into this game allowing just 16 points per game. They gave up 17 today.
Ooh,
oh, boo-hoo.
Kill the record.
But they had four takeaways, season-high four takeaways, four interceptions. Your man, Javian Elliott, former Seminoles walk-on, had one, his first career pick. Andrew Adams came in and had three today. New guy, Kevin Minter, came off the street and got the sack train going with one. Levante David back from his MCL injury.
Led the team in tackles.
And had another sack and also had a tip that allowed Andrew Adams to get the interception.
I was going to say Andrew on a first name basis. Jeez.
Yeah.
Andy?
I'm just saying that this defense is so remarkably different under Mark Duffner
during the game. How toxic was Mike Smith? This team was down its
awful.
Top three corners, right?
Yes.
And as Cutter said in the game afterwards, when Justin Evans went out at halftime,
mm-hmm.
they were playing five defensive backs. So if you're counting their nickel formation,
yeah.
they're playing five defensive backs that were not week one starters.
Correct.
None of them.
Correct.
None of them. And I
Some
think,
of them weren't even on this football
right,
team.
Right. Only
yes.
one of them. No, because I was
Jamie
Isaiah
Elliott was practice squad.
Was
Andrew
Isaiah
Adams
Johnson
was,
a practice? No, he made the roster at the very end.
He
Isaiah
did.
Johnson.
Yeah, over,
okay.
over
so there
Keith
were
Andy.
So there were two guys who were roster who were
yeah.
guys who were backup dudes,
right.
and the rest of them were practice squad or not on the team.
Right.
And they held a Carolina team. And look, man, I get it. The wheels are kind of falling off for Carolina. They haven't been playing great. Whatever. This
yeah.
is still a Carolina team that whooped up on them when they were in Carolina.
Yep.
They had the recipe for it, and they held them to 17 points. And not only did they hold them 17 points, they had three drives at the end of the game
yes.
where you look at the drive and you go, okay,
this is
2018's NFL, right?
Yep.
This is the drive. They
right.
go down, they score, they tie it
yep.
up. We'll figure out what happens either in overtime or the Bucks maybe get a field goal out of it on their last drive. That happened on three separate drives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Turnover, turnover, turnover on downs, right?
Right. Yep. With
That's
the
how it
Mary
went.
Attempt. Yeah. Yeah, and it's a tribute to not just Mark Duffner and the defensive coaches for getting these guys ready to play. But it's also really a tribute to Jason Light for finding a Kevin Minter, for finding an Andrew Adams.
Because, yeah, I mean,
I would say the most helpless feeling that a general manager has is in September, right? Because the roster's pretty much been finalized. There aren't any saviors on the street. You get a guy
apparently
like
there are, but you
well,
know.
You get a guy like Carl Nassib as a waiver wire claim, and that's a lucky strike right there. But then, man, to get these guys that came in and made big time impact plays like Minter and Adams, Jason Light has really come through down the stretch here and has put this team in position now with 5 wins. They've already equaled last year's win total. I know it's a disappointing season overall because the best the Buccaneers can do is 9-7, but They got a chance at home against the Saints.
If
they keep playing like this on defense.
This staff is coming back next year.
Yeah.
This staff is coming back next year.
Yeah.
I'm not totally against it either. I mean, if they get a couple more wins, this team goes 7-9.
Yeah.
This staff's coming back. You have to. I mean, I don't think you can make a change if this team continues to play, you know, well. I mean, no, I don't. Again, I love what they did today. Drew Brees isn't going to throw 4 interceptions.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know that they're going to get 4 sacks mm-hmm. against Drew Brees. But I don't think they're going to give up 40 points like they did at the Superdome.
Right.
As you pointed out, they certainly play better defensively. Mm-hmm. At home, we haven't even got to the offense. Again, almost another turnover-free day. There was the one fumble that maybe should have not even been a fumble there. Mm-hmm. Peyton Barber at the end. I mean, at the goal line there in the mm-hmm. first half. You know, but Jameis Winston again goes 2 straight games.
He was turnover-free.
Turnover-free. Look, like every quarterback, there's a couple passes that, okay, could have been potential picks, but they weren't. He took sacks. He took 4 sacks. When in other games that we've saw him, he probably tries to scramble, do too much, and throw the ball. But, you know, this is a different football team, and I think the gloom and doom that we all predicted, myself included, just a few weeks ago when we said this team may not win another football game, here they are with 2 straight wins. And, boy, look, if they beat the Saints, you know, all bets are off on how this team's going to finish. I mean, their confidence is growing. And
well,
as you said, with a bunch of ragtag.
Yeah, but it's really going to depend on how this team fares on the road. Because for as great as this defense is playing at home, and you look at the lone game under Mike Smith, the lone home game, they gave up, 23 points to the Steelers because there was a pick six. Pittsburgh had 30 points in that game, minus mm-hmm. 7. So 23 points on defense to the Steelers.
Only had 30? I thought it was more than that.
No,
it was like 37.
I thought it was 30-27 was the final.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So, yeah, 23 points there. You allow the Eagles to score 21. Then you play the Browns. They got 23 in overtime. That was an overtime game. And then 16 for the Redskins, 9 for the 49ers last week, 17 today. It's really crazy, but they're giving up 38 points per game on the road, and that's not just Mike Smith. That's 38 points to Cincinnati.
Carolina.
Well, 31 because there was a pick six in the Cincinnati game, but still 31 there.
42 at the Giants.
Yep, 42 at the Giants. 42 at Carolina.
There was another pick six in the Giants game too, wasn't it? Ron Fitzpatrick threw one in that game.
Yep. Yeah.
But, I mean, still, they're giving up over 30 points a game, and they're giving up less than 20 at home.
Right.
So you're right. They've got to be able to prove some consistency. But see, what these two games have done, Scott, and if they play well next week, win or lose, that's it.
Confidence.
That's it. They're believing in the coaches. I don't think that this defensive team believed anything Mike Smith's scheme was teaching them in those first few games before Mike got fired.
That's a great point because, really, the first couple games – of this year on defense was a continuation of 2017.
Right.
It just was awful. And what got the Buccaneers those wins, of course, was just the deep throws by Fitz, the 40-plus points per game they were averaging. And, I mean, it's remarkable what Mark Duffner has done with the players that he's had to work with. And I talked to Levante David in the locker room, and I said, Levante, how much of this is still the Mike Smith playbook, and how much of this is the tweaking that Mark Duffner's done? He's like, well, you know, there's been some tweaks. Obviously, we're playing dime now. We're putting Andrew Adams in dime because we don't have Kwan. That's been an adjustment. But it's still the playbook. It's still Mike Smith's playbook. So,
but you know what those twists are? They were obvious right out of the gate, Scott, in the first half when Minter with a gap blitz just blindsides Cam, and then later in the game in the first half, Levante David does the same thing.
Blindside off the C, exactly, and so. Just hitting that C gap blitz. And for so many times, guys, and I know you listening out there in Pewter Nation, especially, like, go back to that Bears game, right? No blitzes whatsoever in the first half.
Right.
None, which is criminal. And now you see Mark Duffner. And the reason why we called for Mike Smith to be fired and replaced by Duffner, because, hell, he's the linebacker's coach. You're damn right he's going to bring some linebacker blitzes.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And we're seeing it now, and we're seeing it work. That's the important thing. It's working.
Something we talked about. You know, as this game started, maybe after the first interception, I think we're seeing more aggressiveness out of these cornerbacks. And maybe the best thing, this sounds crazy, maybe the best thing is for them to be banged up. And some of these guys that have been here the last couple years, the Brent Grimes of the world, these new guys, they're not ingrained into this Mike Smith just play safe mentality.
That's a great point.
You know, and Andrew Adams comes into this game. Right.
They haven't
been poisoned.
Yes.
And, you know, that's how they've been playing football their whole life.
Right.
And so they get an opportunity to play. You know, they haven't been here 2 or 3 years under Mike Smith. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they can just play naturally, not play so far off. I mean, even a guy like Jordan Whitehead, who is a rookie, you know what I mean, is an aggressive, get-in-your-face kind of guy, physical
tackler.
How about
Ryan Smith? Ryan Smith got his first pick last week. He almost had another pick today.
Yeah.
He's playing aggressive as hell compared to how he used to play under Mike Smith.
Absolutely. You know, and you know, again, we've beat up Mike Smith plenty, but I think every game
well,
that you
the
see,
reason why this team's been bad for like the last 2 years.
That's right.
So.
It's been well deserved and justified.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I mean, Dirk Cutter still may get fired, and his biggest crime will be not getting rid of Mike Smith soon.
Correct. Yes.
Agreed. But you know what? He does get credit for pulling the trigger, and he does get credit for.
When they fire him after week
the
four?
Falcons game,
right?
Should've
it was the week
the
after
week.
The bye week. Yeah.
We called for it during the bye week. It should have happened then, but he wanted to give Mike Smith a bye week to try to figure things out, and they were playing the Falcons, which was an opponent they were very familiar with for good and bad reasons. And it was just a week too long. But at the same time, it was the right call, and he put the right guy in there.
7 games too long, if you ask me. You know what I mean? I mean, he should have been fired after last year.
I agree. But I'm just saying, it's better late than never, and it's happened, and it's been the right call.
Yeah, because that's the thing. You can kind of speculate what is what, but the reason why sports arguments – and comment sections and people on social media, the reason why there's forever a debate is because a lot of times you do never know. What is it? Is it the players or the play calling? Is it the execution or is it the coaching?
But you know
playbook?
What, Trevor?
Like, you just never
you
know.
You don't know until you make a change in one of the three things that you just mentioned.
But they didn't do that for
the last 2 years.
No. Listen, in free agency, they went and got out all of these people on the defensive line. They drafted different corners. They did also, so, like, they did make moves.
Yeah.
But it came out to – okay, Mike Smith's the problem, and
we clearly
found that out.
Yes.
But again, you know, you just the leash for winning in football is so little that you just hope if you're a general manager, if you're a head coach, if you're whatever it is, you don't find that out too late, right? And for Dirk Cutter, unfortunately, it might have been too late. We don't know yet. I mean, I'm with you guys. If they basically run the table here at the end of the year, he's going to come back.
Yeah.
You know, even if they lose the Saints game and they win the last three, he's coming back.
Yeah.
You know, so it might not have been too late. It's not like the clock has struck midnight, but it was about as close as it could have been
because I think
this was the very last point where they could have turned
it around. I think the real critical thing for Dirk Cutter moving forward is if you're going to lose the Cowboys game, the Ravens game on the road, the Saints game next week, they got to be close losses. They got to be three points. It's got to be you're right there into the fourth quarter playing.
I don't even know.
And then you got to beat the Falcons at home because
we saw last year
that they ended the season on a high note, beating the NFC South division champions here at home in dramatic fashion. That has to happen. So whatever the equation is, the end result has to be a Falcons win in the season finale right here at Ray J.
No, I'm with you there. I think you're right.
Well, speaking of waiting too late, there's one thing you don't want to wait too late to do, Scott.
What's that?
Make sure your boat's in tip-top shape before you get on the water.
You're damn right.
You know what will happen?
You'll die. Your boat will capsize. It'll sink.
You'll hit it and you'll drown.
At the end of the Titanic.
Stop it. I've never seen that movie. Do not spoil the ending for me.
Sorry.
All right. I heard something about it. I'm going
to
watch it finally maybe this week.
They both could have fit on the
show. What? What? On what
it's
door?
It's true.
Sorry.
Yeah, we were spoiling it for you. Why would they be on a door? They're on a boat.
I'm just saying.
They're on a luxury cruise liner.
Yeah.
No, well.
Things happen on that fateful trip.
Yeah.
Have you seen Gilligan's Island?
Yes.
It's kind of like that, but like a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Well, you know, if Gilligan and the skipper would have swung by T.A. Mahoney's,
yeah,
they probably wouldn't have been stranded on the deserted island for over 20 years.
Well, and also, too, if the Titanic maybe had gone by, you
yeah,
know, and
right,
gotten some safety
right,
equipment.
Right.
You're giving this away.
Then
stop.
Leo would have never
no
had
more.
His big
blah, blah, blah,
break.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. All right. So, anyway, T.A. Mahoney's is the place to go if you own a boat.
Or the Titanic.
Or the Titanic, which is considered a boat.
It
was.
Is. It was, yeah.
Was. What does that mean? No, don't tell me. Don't tell me.
You'll see.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me. All right. So anyway, T.A. Mahoney, since 1948, they've been putting boats in great condition so they don't end up like Gilligan and the skipper on Gilligan's Island, deserted for over 20 years until the Harlem Globetrotters show up. So check them out. Go see Mark. Go see Mike. Go see Matt. A great group over there. They will hook you up with everything you need to make sure your boat is ready to go. You need to winterize your boat. You want to get it out of the water for the winter, get it ready for the spring, whatever it is. They can do that. Safety equipment, new radios. If only Gilligan had went to T. Mahoney's and bought a good two-way radio and they could have signaled where they were, some sort of GPS, they wouldn't be in the situation that they were. So
don't
make
you
have sure
to have life jackets for everybody?
Yes, yeah. Every person
that
on the boat.
Come in handy.
It would have come in handy on
yeah,
the Titanic.
What? Stop it!
Yeah.
No more! I can't hear you. I'm not talking. All right,
well,
stop. All
right. Okay, listen, for our longtime Pewter Nation podcast listeners, you know that we wait until the end.
You know that Jack and Rose are dead.
That's true. So. Yeah.
You know, really, thanks a lot, guys. Was it a murder suicide? What happened? No, you got to tell me now. No,
okay,
I don't want
to. No, it was actually a murder by Rose.
Mm.
Yes, it was.
She killed him.
Yes, she did.
100%.
Okay. Yeah. Like, she was cool up until the end, and then
yeah,
she became a
then,
bitch.
No, and then she killed
and
him.
That was it.
She killed him.
All right, so you probably know that we wait until the end of the podcast to come up with the song. But the song is, and Trevor, you've seen enough of these videos on Twitter and such,
mm-hmm,
where it's the sports play. With the Titanic theme music, you know, the
yeah,
big dramatic
yeah,
music, and
right,
the, you're here, you know, yeah, that yeah, yeah, that's how we need to start the podcast.
Okay,
with that right there,
all right.
And
with the Titanic theme song,
yes, yeah, and doing that with Andrew Adams,
they recorded
in mind
it on the boat.
Yes,
well,
oh,
you know, before,
okay,
you know, before,
yeah,
you know,
before the murder suicide.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? And Buck fans, when you picture that, picture Cam Newton throwing interceptions to Andrew Adams and Javion Elliott. You know, making the play. You're here. There's nothing to fear. The Buccaneer defense has this. Four interception day.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll do.
All right. I guess we're going with the Titanic theme.
Yeah.
I have got to see that movie.
All right. So the big difference for the Buccaneers offense, I mean, it's pretty clear, right? DeSean Jackson wasn't there, and Jameis
yes,
Winston's wearing a visor.
Yes.
Those are
the two reasons.
Catalysts.
That's
it.
Right.
Look,
that's it.
No joke. Nick Carter texted me as soon as the game started, and he goes, there's a different energy without DeSean Jackson. He is so anti-DeSean Jackson
yeah,
right now.
A lot of people
he's
there,
not
and,
the only one.
You know,
well, and
look, I talked to it with Channel 8, News Channel 8. Watch me on the Bucks Bonus Show Sunday night.
With Andy Sabo.
With Andy Sabo. Just watch Andy Sabo if you want to. Bottom line is tune in. But, you know, what were we just talking about?
About DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, about DeSean Jackson. You know, she said, Chris Godwin, you know, they need to get him more touches. I said, look. Or she says, is this going to help him get confidence? I said, Chris Godwin has no problem with confidence.
Yeah.
The only thing he has going against him is opportunities.
Yeah. Right?
And so this is a great development. Chances are DeSean isn't here next year. You know, you got to get this guy reps. You know what he can do.
Yeah,
all
that
he does
good
is produce.
I mean, 6 targets, 5 catches, 101 yards, 20.2 average, 48-yard catch today, plus the big touchdown that Dirk Koetter said was really the play of the game.
Yeah.
Was Jameis rolling out. Godwin was actually the fourth option on that play. And that was a huge touchdown.
Chris Godwin's 100% a complete receiver.
Yeah.
And like last year, even down the stretch last year, I mean, he was it was almost so clear that he was the second best wide receiver on the team.
Do you remember in training camp this year? Literally the first 2 weeks of training camp.
It was the Chris Godwin.
He was the play of the day guy.
They just go away from him. Now, I get it. It's like, okay, well, we have all these other options. Okay, well, he's your second best.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know what you're doing, but you got to get him the ball.
Yeah.
I really do think that the best options, well, for how they use them, like, vertically. The best three options on this team are, in order, are Mike Evans, O.J. Howard, Chris Godwin.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's what I would think. Yeah. I mean, they kind of make DeSean Jackson basically the same thing as Adam Humphries. I'll tell you what. Can't get on the ball
And Adam Humphries is probably number four because this guy came up big again today. Well, 7 catches, 61 yards, and a touchdown.
DeSean clearly is he's just not effective with this offense.
He's not effective with Jameis Winston.
That's right. That's okay, so that's
the, he's not effective with Jameis Winston.
Jameis just can't hit him. And a lot of people bring up, oh, DeSean is a teammate or his effort or whatever. Look, man, DeSean just – Jameis just can't hit him.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's all it is.
And if he can't hit him, he's not worth $10 million a year.
He's not worth $10 million a year. And, people were like, oh, you could tell when he's frustrated. Hell yeah, I'd be frustrated too.
Exactly.
The whole reason you brought me here, DeSean Jackson is, statistically speaking, the best deep ball wide receiver in NFL history.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. No one has more scores than him.
Yep. Jameis can't hit the deep ball.
Jameis can't hit him.
Yep.
That's it.
That's a big part of what Dirk Koetter likes to do with his offense.
Yes. Look, there's no way DeSean's going to be on this team next year.
Exactly.
He has to be gone.
Sometimes even the best marriages fail.
Yeah.
I mean, Brad and Angelina, two beautiful people, right? Talented people. Just didn't work out.
Right. I mean, Jameis and Rose.
Well, how about Brad
and Titanic?
But who? You, all right, tell me this.
How about
which
Brad
one
and Jennifer
murdered?
That's even better looking, if you ask me.
Debatable.
I mean, Angelina's a little skinny.
No, well,
she could use a brownie. Well, she could use. She adopts kids.
Yeah, that still wears her ass out. Trust me.
Okay, I know, but she could use a brownie or two.
Yeah. Get the girl a sandwich.
You know what she could use? She could use some rum cake at Ford's Garage.
Heyo, segue.
I had a rum cake at Ford's Garage.
The whole thing?
No, but it was a slice.
No, they told me. They called me. They go, should we keep serving this guy? Because he just keeps ordering a slice of rum cake.
I'm a rum cake fiend. I'll admit it.
And they had to call you an Uber to get you home because there was so much rum in the cake.
There's quite a bit of rum. You actually have to be 21 years of age to order the rum cake.
Well, you cover the Buccaneers, so it makes sense that you like rum.
Of course.
And
yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum.
And you can go to Ford's Garage.
You can get some rum with
multiple
your rum cake.
Locations. You can, yes, you can chase your rum cake with actual rum.
You can.
They've got multiple types of rum at Ford's Garage. Huge Pewter Report Nation sponsors, fans of what we do here. And they do a tremendous job with multiple locations across the Bay Area, all the way up north to Dearborn, Michigan, all the way south down to Fort Myers, Florida. Even moving out east, they're in Orlando now. So take the kids to Disney World, swing by Ford's Garage. It's like Disney World of the restaurants.
It really is. I actually had, and I'm going this way from now on because I've tried the Bison Burger, which I liked. It was okay. Their regular Angus is okay. But I from now on, it's the Wagyu
Kobe
beef for me.
Yeah.
It's that much better. I think it's $2 more per burger.
Right.
It's worth it. It's totally worth it to get that. It is the primest choice.
The primest choice.
Right.
A beef.
Hey, so Ronald Jones got some carries and didn't do anything with him again.
Who?
Oh, sorry, Ronnie.
Yeah, Ronnie. Ronnie Jones.
We decided that we're calling him Ronnie.
Until he gets 50 yards rushing in a game, he's just 50, Ronnie.
50? 50? How about 15?
He gets 15.
He had 4 carries for 2 yards today.
Right,
it was like
all
the preseason
he's Ronnie,
all over again.
He's Ronnie Jones right now. If he gets more than 15, we'll start calling him Ron.
Okay.
If he gets over 50, then he gets his name Ronald back.
Okay.
And if he gets 100 yards, then it's Ronald Jones the second.
But he does not get Rojo until he gets a 100-yard game. In fact, we're going to start calling him Nojo.
Yes, that's more appropriate. No Joe or
no
Bozo.
Yards, no positive yards or positive runs.
Bad, man.
What was his stat line, Scott?
I said 4 carries, 2 yards. That's half a yard per carry.
To be fair, I mean,
not even exaggerating. I swear on everything holy right now. I think any of the three of us could carry the ball 4 yards and get 2. I mean, 4 times and
well,
get
they
2
don't
yards.
Block for him. Like I don't know how this is continuously a thing.
Yeah.
Every time Ron Jones. Now, at the beginning.
Did
of the
they
year,
really block for Peyton Barber a whole lot? Let's be honest. It's offensive line.
So, look.
I mean, they had an opportunity to salt this game away 3 times there inside of 8 minutes.
Yeah. They keep calling these
get a
stupid
first down.
Zone blocking runs. This team cannot run block with a zone play.
Who's the run game coordinator?
George Warhop.
Who's their offensive line coach?
George Warhop.
Where's the weakness on this football team right now?
Offensive line.
All right, Dirk.
Yes, make a move.
All right, Dirk.
Make a move.
You want to keep your job, Dirk?
Dirk, you want to come back? Fine. Find a new offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Absolutely.
I can't coach offensive line, so I wouldn't be.
Well, I can. So
I'd stop running his own plays.
Stop running his own plays. They don't friggin' work.
I'd also stop running it to the right.
I don't know why they're running stretch plays to the right.
Yeah. You got Benenok and Leonard Wester over there. Like, what are you doing?
To be fair, they did put Cam Braid over there to help out a couple times.
Cam Braid's bad.
Yeah. Bad locker.
Who's the best offensive lineman on this team, Trevor?
O.J. Howard.
No, who's the best offensive lineman on this team?
Allie Marpet.
Allie Marpet.
Or as the PA announcer said, Allie Marpet.
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 Marpin.
Marpet.
Marpet.
Muppet.
Who is the highest paid offensive lineman on this team?
Allie Marpet.
Where does he play?
Left guard.
Left? Oh, the left side of the line. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Because, see, I just was wondering because they keep running the ball to the right.
Who's the second best run blocker on this team?
O.J. Howard.
That's not a tight end.
That's not an injured reserve.
Yeah. That's on the active roster.
Who's the highest paid center on this team?
Ryan Jensen.
And in the league?
It's not Ryan Jensen.
It's Ryan Jensen.
He's the most highest paid center.
Oh, yes.
The highest paid center.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know, which makes
he's getting too many penalties for that.
More.
Well, yeah, but okay, why don't you try to, like, run behind him and Marpet a little bit more?
They do. They just don't do it enough.
That's a problem. Who's the run game coordinator, Mark?
George Warhop.
Okay.
Yes.
Who's the offensive line coach?
George Warhop.
There we go.
Okay. What's the weakest part of this team?
Offensive line coached by the offensive line coach and the run game coordinator, George Warhop.
All right.
Okay. Just so we're...
Dirk, you got your orders for next year. A little early, but
all right.
You got them.
Prop bet, true or false, can we find a place to bet if George Warhop is going to be here next year? I wonder if there's a place out there. You know what?
There is a place.
There is a place for that. I also...
I took a big loss today, fellas.
You bet on the Panthers?
I did bet on the Panthers. Yeah.
How much money did you put on the Panthers?
10 large.
Wow.
10 large.
Whoa.
10 smacks.
Wow. Yes. $10,000?
No. $10, man.
Oh, God. That's not 10 large.
No.
I've given more to the homeless people in the last week than you bet.
Listen, man, $10 is a lot for me.
Did you ever find that guy at the gas station that wanted to fight you?
I've been back twice. He's not there.
He's not there?
No, okay. He's not there. Apparently, he fought somebody that he shouldn't
have.
Did
you tell that story on this podcast or no?
Yeah,
have you
did.
Told it?
I did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you did. Okay. Okay, yeah. I probably did.
Right. Yeah, you're the podcast tough guy right now.
Like, so. I literally leave out after every game. I go by there and look for him, and I've yet to see him again. In fact, I got gas there again last week, and he wasn't there.
All right.
But it wasn't 2 a.m. either. He may only come out after midnight.
Oh, yeah, what was it, Monday night game?
Usually those tweakers come out late at night. So.
Okay.
Want to fight?
Well, listen, I lost $10. It was the best $10 I've ever lost because this was.
I'd bet on that guy in a fight.
This was an entertaining game today.
He was squirrely.
Oh, well, yeah.
But listen, guys,
guy.
You're listening to this podcast. You're watching football at home. It's fun. We get it. But it's more entertaining when you put some action on the games. Guys, you've heard me talk about this for weeks, and some of you guys are still on the sidelines, and I get it. But dip your toe in the water. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at
MyBookie.
There you go.
A-G.
So if you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little like me or a lot like Trevor when you go to Seminole Hard Rock, if you're a guy who likes to place some numbers on roulette, you are probably the kind of guy who likes to create a big parlay. And you can do that. You can pick any three teams to win at MyBookie.ag. And if you hit all three of those, you can turn $100 into $600. That's it. Just do it. Parlay it. Boom. You win $600 with your $100 bet. There's so much to bet on right now. College basketball, football, NBA, NHL, custom prop bets, even esports, you name it. You got the college bowl games that are on the horizon as well. MyBookie is the one bet that I know you're going to be happy with all year long. I recommend these guys. I've talked about them in the podcast for well over a year now, and I really trust them. MyBookie's the best in the business. They have been for years. They've got great online reviews. They got a great mobile site that's easy to use. So you can sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way for you guys to bank even more money when you win. Also, make sure you follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter. That's at BetMyBookie. They personally respond to every mention and DM, not to mention the fact they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season alone. So you're going to be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted if you follow them on Twitter. Don't miss out. It's one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now. Use the promo code PEWTER. That's what you got to put in, PEWTER. To get 50% deposit bonus, that's the promo code PEWTER. You play, You win, you get paid at mybookie.ag.
All right, fellas, can they make it three in a row?
If Jameis Winston continues to play like this, turnover-free football, yes. It's interesting to note this is the first
time. It's funny, you two were trying to run this guy out of town a few weeks ago, by the way. The only one, you and Trevor.
Who?
Who?
Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sakahima.
Tried to do what?
Run Jameis Winston out of town.
Like the coaching staff did?
No, no. Well, yeah, that too. That's no doubt about it. Anyway, you guys were drinking the anti-Winston Kool-Aid.
I don't know about
you. Literally wrote, Scott, it's time to make a change.
Yes.
Give up on Jameis Winston.
Yes.
You literally wrote that.
I did write that.
Literally.
Yes,
they did. And they did.
Yeah.
And they did.
And they realized what I said is Ryan Fitzpatrick is always going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You said they should bench him.
I did. I agreed after the Cincinnati game he needed to sit.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's the best thing
that's
happened
but
to him.
But I was not going
to
give up on this
Sometimes
guy. I can't give up on
a
24-year-old guy.
I said they were going to play him again.
Yes, he was going to play again. There's no doubt about it. Listen, the thing is sometimes you get hit rock bottom. For Winston, it was getting benched because he's had two very, very clean performances. Not only that today, Cookie, when you look at the 249 yards passing, which was the fewest passing yard numbers by any Buccaneer quarterback to date.
In the history of the league?
No, just to date for this year. But he had 48 yards rushing. He was the leading rusher for the Buccaneers today. He was making plays with his feet.
Lamar Jackson Jr., Michael Vick 2.0.
He was today, yeah.
He even forced a fumble.
Because he knocked it away from Peyton Barber, is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
I don't think
impressive.
He did.
You know, maybe
it looked
you should
like
show
first.
The defense how to do that. That was pretty impressive. When you run up behind a guy, punch the ball out.
All right, so, but like building off of kind of what we were saying last week too, this is what you want, right? This is why you bench him. Because there were three or four plays that happened in this game where either he took a sack or he just straight up didn't throw the ball.
Right.
And we were like, okay, that's learning. That's Jameis Winston. That's learning to living to fight another down.
I don't know. Listen. Okay, that's all beautiful. We can put pig on a lipstick and all this nonsense. Bottom line is they've been playing ahead the last 2 weeks. That makes a huge difference.
It does. That's
this
a
team
great
is
point.
Not down, you know.
So then what you're saying about bragging
points.
With Jameis Winston is that you have no leg to stand on at this
no,
point.
No, I'm saying the guy is going to still turn the ball over, and that's okay because he's also going to sling it for 350.
How did he just flip this whole conversation against us? For Jameis Winston,
yeah.
And
now I
want to
bench him again.
Against
get rid of him.
Jameis
cut him right now.
But okay, look.
Schizophrenia.
Last week,
that's how I did it.
Last week they played
didn't
a terrible San Francisco team.
Right.
Okay, they won. They did what they needed to do. They didn't turn the ball over. Jameis didn't have to have too much stress. This week, a little bit better, a little bit more control, a little bit of a better team. Still no turnovers. They play the Saints next week.
Right.
This is, like, I know we said Carolina's going to be a decent test, and I thought that they were obviously a little bit of a better test than San Francisco is. But next week, they play the Saints.
Right.
It is the test in the NFC.
The Saints are going to have to win because they dropped the game to the Cowboys. The Rams didn't drop one today. So going into next week, they are one game back of home field advantage against a team that they know is going to give them everything they have in the playoffs. So the Saints have to beat the Buccaneers
next
week.
Without having a prediction, without saying who's going
to
win or whatever, what is next week going to look like, though? Because week one was 48-40. A couple years ago, they beat the Saints here 16-11, okay? And we saw the Saints have a low-scoring game against Dallas. Dallas' defense really did a great job shutting them down. What is this game going to look like? Is it going to be
Battle
in
the
20s?
Alamo.
Is it going to be in the 30s? Is it going to be in the 40s? Is it going to be close? Is it going to be one-sided?
No. So
What is it going to look like? Here's the deal with this football team. I'm joking about me being schizophrenic. This football team is. The way they play on the road versus the way they play on at home. Teams that they should beat, they lose to. Games that they... you know, come all the way back in and they lose at the end. I mean, you don't know. I have no – again, this is going to be the hardest preview and prediction that we do next Saturday for this.
I already got my
– I mean, I know what the Saints – I think the Saints
That's
are going
to
win.
That's what
I want to
know.
It's already in the
draft. What does it look like?
That would be a first.
What's it look like?
That would be the first if his preview and prediction
so
got in the draft
done
first.
This early?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Listen, I get it done in time.
All right. But
after the one
Trevor,
week that I didn't have it in time.
What does it look like? Is it in the 40s,
30s,
20s?
I really do. Okay. I think it's in the 20s just because you guys have talked about this team is so different at home, especially on defense. I mean, we've seen, what was it, over the last 2 years, really? Mm-hmm. They've gotten I don't think they got a – did they get a win both times they played the Saints here, right?
Yeah.
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 So, for whatever reason, I mean, Drew Brees is the same guy. The Saints were still good the last two times they played the Buccaneers here, and the Buccaneers still find a way. Home field advantage means so much more to the Buccaneers.
Trevor, you mentioned the Saints have got to win this football game. The Saints had to win this game last year, last game of the year, for the playoff situation.
That's true, sure.
You know, they ended up getting in because of tiebreakers and things like that, or whatever
right,
it was.
Right.
But, I mean, they were desperately needing that win.
They were the champions of the South. They were in the playoffs last year. The Saints were.
But didn't they?
No.
Who's
no,
ahead of them?
No, they had to win that game to I can't remember what it was, to win the NFC South.
I remember they
like
had to win it for something. Either like you win it and they had a better chance at home field advantage
or something.
Yeah, I don't know if it was playoff life. But like Breeze played the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, they were
the NFC
South champions, so yeah, they were going to be in the playoffs regardless.
Yeah,
whether they win or lose,
there was some had to in that game.
It was something having to do with the home field advantage.
And then Sean Payton lost, and he tried to beat up Dirk Cutter at midfield.
Yeah. And Dirk Cutter said, "Hell no, this is my house."
No, Dirk Cutter just
went. What was he pissed
nervous
about?
Nervous laughter.
Oh, he was pissed about the fight when Evans blindsided Lattimore last year.
Yeah,
that's what he was pissed about.
6 weeks before, let it go, Sean.
Yeah. So what, your best corner gets blindsided?
Yeah.
Who cares?
All right. Well, look, the Buccaneers won. None of us predicted that to happen. None of us are probably going to predict the Buccaneers to beat the Saints.
I was told if I predicted the Bucs win the rest of the season, I should be fired.
That's true.
Shout out, Sydney.
You know, the crazy thing is
if you predict them to beat the Saints next week, you're definitely getting fired.
We thought the Buccaneers ship was sinking, but it really looks like the Carolina Panthers ship is sinking.
Yeah, they're... Yeah,
four losses in a row.
Should have won the T.A. Mahoney's. Yeah.
What are they? Are they 6-5 now? Six and six?
They're 6-6 now.
Yikes!
Yeah.
Yikes!
Bucks are 5-7.
Wow.
Yep.
God, Carolina could be last.
Mm-hmm.
When the Bucks finish 9-7, Carolina's going to be last.
The Falcons would be the last.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we appreciate everybody listening to this edition of the Peter Nation Podcast. We'll be back later in the week. Not sure if it'll be Wednesday or Thursday. But we'll keep you in suspense. We will keep you in suspense.
Just like the Titanic.
Exactly.
Yes. Shh, don't say
what
anything.
What happens at the end of the
You know
Titanic.
What? You guys are going to force me to go home and watch that movie tonight.
It's pretty short, though, right?
It's like three hours long. But
what?
Yeah, it's a long movie.
You mean it's like a double VHS?
Yeah, you got to flip the VHS over and then put it back in the other way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then it'll play it backwards, and it's like a satanic message.
Shout out the devil. All right, we appreciate every listener.
Don't board this ship. It will sink.
What? Say, well, what?
You didn't hear that.
Oh, all right, good.
Just watch the movie. Cook.
All right, do not ruin the ending for me. And if you say anything about Apollo 11, what was that movie, Apollo 11? Was that it? With Tom Hanks?
The Rocky movie?
No, they go to the moon.
Apollo Creed?
Yeah, don't give away that one either. All right. Anyway, we appreciate everybody listening. For Trevor Sekema, Scott Reynolds, I am Marco Cucco, and we will see you next week for another edition of the Peter Nation Podcast.
Out.